Well, good evening. I'm glad to see all of you here tonight. We had a really good sermon this morning, and we had a really good Sunday school lesson. And the sermon that I have this evening ties into both of those, really. But maybe not in a way that you would think of, but it is something that you know. And so the title, you know, Dan was asking me the title, and it is, the title for this is God's Love. And so I'd like to start off with a scripture reading out of John 3, 16 through 21. So you probably already know what I'm going to read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son unto the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. And that really is my whole sermon, just tonight, just this small section, and I'm just going to elaborate on that a little bit. And so we live in a world today where there is a lot of conflict, a lot of ideas of what and who God is. And we see it, and how we know God is by what he has told us of him through his word, through his commandments, and through his working with men. And this is how we know the sight of God. This is how we know who he is. And so the world has a different picture of God if they don't pay attention to the light. They don't understand him. They may think they know him, but they all have different ideas. And so that's what this passage is about, those that don't know God and those that do. And so if we don't know God, then there is no light in us, because we haven't learned from his commandments. We haven't learned from his scriptures. We haven't learned from his examples. And so, because of that, they have no idea who God is. So in 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still in Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they may teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables, to endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither in what they say, nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for the sinners, for unholy, for profane, for murderers of fathers and mothers, and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, and for them that defile themselves with mankind, for manstealers, for liars, for perjurer persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And so, in this explanation of what the law is for, we learn about the love of God, and we learn about what we should not be doing and what we should be doing. And he starts off and he talks to Timothy in faith, in grace and mercy and peace from God our Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And those are the things that we want to be recipients of in our lives. And so many times in today's world, people want to redefine the law. We want to redefine who God is by changing the law or changing the interpretation or lack of acceptance of what law God has laid down. And so that's kind of a little bit of what I want to talk about, how that light came into the world and how exactly is it that men are ignoring it and what that means for us today. In this world where we try to be steadfast and we try to be honorable in our conviction, in our belief in Jesus Christ, and also have that love for one another and compassion. And so this can be misunderstood many times, I think. And so I'm just going to kind of start back at the basic. There are many examples of it. I'm going to start in Exodus 33, beginning in the first verse. And the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite and the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And so that's kind of interesting. You know, he's doing this for a group of people that are stiff-necked because of their lawlessness, because they choose to turn away from the commandments of God. And he's telling them, and if he were among them, he says, what does he say? Least I consume thee in the way. And so he has this mercy that he shows to them. And that is, he sends an angel to do his bidding, to guide them, to do that work that he would do for them so that he wouldn't have to, because they would suffer for his presence. And that's kind of that relationship that we have with, it tells us a little bit about our relationship with God. And we know that there is no evil thing that can withstand the presence of God. And for that reason is the reason that he gave his son. Out of mercy and compassion and the grace that he shows to mankind. And so we have this example in Exodus. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they murmured, and no man did put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore, now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it within the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass, when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up, and stood every man in his tent door, and looked after Moses, until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And so they were afraid of what the Lord might do. And they were all watching and to see how that would turn out. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and the people rose up and worshiped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again unto the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me how now thy way, that I might know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. So, God began the work of letting Moses know who he was. And he had been working with them before, but he began in a special way. I've lost my place. In verse 15, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? Or so shall we be separated in thy people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all of my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be glorious, to whom I will be gracious, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And so God had this plan, and he's going to do this thing for Moses, that he will be able to see God, but not his face. And so we can see this by example, that through this, he revealed himself to them, but he preserved their lives. He took mercy on them. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass that while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And this is grace, that the Lord would do this, that he would survive, that he would have that evidence from God of his love and his kindness. And this is much like how Jesus Christ covers for our sins, and that mercy that we can take part of, and that grace that we have through Christ, that the Lord has given his Son that mankind might be saved. But there's a little bit more to this story and in this example. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. And so he couldn't see the whole glory of the Lord. He could only see a small part, and only the part that God willed that he would see, and only the part that would not destroy him. And so he showed that mercy. And so how do we get to know a God that is this powerful? How do we get to know him personally, that he would be able to make known to us his thoughts, that he would be able to make known to us his commandments, that he would be able to make known to us his grace and his mercy and his kindness and love? In the next verse, and the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tablets of stone, like unto the first. And I will write upon these tablets the words that were in the first tablets, which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor the herds feed before the mount. And he hewed two tablets of stone like on the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went up to the Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hands the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood within him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by him and proclaimed the Lord, and the Lord God merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abundant goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands and forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and unto the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head towards the earth and worshipped and said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord pray thee go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. And so the God gave his commandments, He gave them to a stiff-necked people. He gave them to a people that if he stood amongst them, they would be destroyed because of his goodness and their lack of it. And so when we read there in Timothy that the commandments were for the sinner and for the evildoer, it is true. So that we can know God. So that through those commandments, we can understand what is right and what is wrong. For without them, how can we know what is right and what is wrong? And that is the only way, through what he has communicated to us. And in today's world, we see all over the place, especially lately, all these conflicts of different ideas of gender, different ideas of what marriage looks like, different ideas of what natural human love is. And they are not what God says they are. They're man's ideas because they don't know God. And he has laid down laws to tell us what these things are. And quite often, if we remind people of what God's laws are and what his commandments are, we're told that we don't have the love of God. But what I just read is we have those things because of the love of God. Because without them, we have no hope to be saved. Without them, we have no hope. And so they come to us by grace. Because as we read in this story, they didn't deserve it. They'd already rejected the commandments that he had given them earlier. Broke them. And yet God had mercy on them because his desire was to save mankind. And how else could he do it if he didn't give us commandments? If he didn't give us a place to start? He didn't give us the knowledge of how to please him. And so today's world, we have people creating their own God, changing the commandments, their own interpretation, because they can't believe in a God that is like our God. They don't want to believe in him. They reject the truth. And so there's no light in them. And so with that, it comes the accusation. So how do we have that love of God in us to communicate to them what they need for their salvation when they don't want to hear it? Well, that's the difficult part. Those are the things that we have to do by faith. Those are the things that we have to do on. In verse 10, and he said, behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels such as not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation, and all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. And terrible means great and unexplainable and marvelous. And he says, observe thou, which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. So we have this commandment not to worship any other God. And so if we begin to believe in things that are not of God, if we begin to believe in fables, if we begin to believe in the righteousness of men and man's truth instead of God's truth, then we are worshiping another God. And so we have this that we must do to be a good example. In Luke chapter 6, verse 27, it says, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies and do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And to him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take away thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank of ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good, and lend hoping not for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." So what does that mean? What does that mean? You know, if the sinner loves the sinner because he agrees with him, then what good is it to God? And it says if the sinner lends to the sinner, because also lend to sinners to receive as much again. And so what is he really telling us to do? He's telling us to do good to others with no reward. And that's a hard thing to do. It's easy to do good to somebody if you're getting a reward for it. It's easy for me to talk about God to you. It's no problem. I have a reward. It's your friendship. It's the smiles on your face. It's the knowledge that we are like-minded. And it's easy, and I have a reward for that. But what about the guy who is against me? That's the hard part. To show him the love of God, to talk about the commandments to him, what he doesn't like to hear, to point out what God has told us is a lie, or what God has told us is love. He doesn't want to hear that. I'm not going to get rewarded for that. He's not going to be grateful to me for that. Nope. So, we have to do that out of love. And there's no reward for us from them in it. And I believe that's what this is talking about. It says, "Be ye merciful, as your Father also is merciful." So when we see someone dying in their sin, have mercy. And it's easy to stand up here and say that, but it's a hard thing to do. To proclaim the word of God to someone who is deep in sin when they do not want to hear it. And what makes it more difficult is when we continue to read this, we must understand something. It says, "Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. So what does that mean? So many times in the world, that means people will see that and they will say, well, you cannot judge whether I have done right or wrong. You cannot condemn me because it is written that you cannot. But this is telling us to be merciful as our Heavenly Father is merciful. Not how I would be merciful to you, because I would be mournful and sorry that I had to make you feel bad, and sorry that it caused you distress, and sorry that you didn't like me anymore because of something that I had to do. But God wouldn't look at it that way. He would say, this is necessary to save you, and you're not going to like it, and this is what it is. And so that mercy that he has for us, that God has for us, that's the mercy that we're to have for others. That we would do that with no thank you, no reward, no instant gratification from that person. That we would let them in on what the Father wants from them, so that they could receive it. And it says, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye might withal, it shall be measured to you again. And so that's how I understand that. Because I have to look at that, and I have to say, it's a struggle sometimes to think about showing the love of God to somebody when you're having to give them a commandment that is God's rebuke and they can't see the love in it and you know they're going to reject it. And in verse 39, and he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And so what is that telling us? You know, we're the disciples. We're the students. And so we have this duty. And everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And that is kind of a, perfect is one of those words that doesn't really translate from Greek to English very well. But here what it actually means is complete. Serving your purpose. And so, if you're serving your purpose that God has given you, then you're perfect because you have completed that. You have done what you're supposed to do. And so, sometimes we look at this and we think, oh, they're perfect. They're going to be like Christ with no flaw and always doing the right thing. But that's not what that means. That means doing what we're supposed to be doing. And so, that doesn't make us the master. If we're doing the will of God and following his commandments and teaching his word as the pupil, that doesn't make us the master. And so that's how the blind have sight, because of mercy and love. And so we have to do these things out of love. The Book of Mormon tells us something very similar in how we are to treat one another in the church. And we can read that. I'm not going to go there because I have a lot more scriptures to go through. There's just lots and lots of scriptures. But we know in the Book of Mormon that we're told that we are to care for one another. And when a brother is found committing iniquity, that we are to correct him in love and mercy to save them. And this is by commandment. And that's what this scripture is about. Having love and mercy. In verse 42, either how canst thou say to thy brother? Well, let's go 41. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceive not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the beam that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And so where is our heart? Is our heart upon the things of God? Is our heart upon his scriptures and his commandments? Are those the things that we speak? Or are we trying to be man-pleasers? Are we trying to pacify? Are we trying to give in just to be at peace? And I'm not saying that at all that we should cause turmoil and trouble and conflict. We have plenty of that around us. What I'm talking about is how we deal with it. Because our children are seeing these things. Our children are hearing all these things about, and I'm just going to go there, homosexuality. They're hearing all these things about transgender. They're hearing all these things about a hideous thing that people are doing to children, puberty blockers. They're hearing all of those things, and they're hideous, and they're against the commandment of God. And to be against those things today, they are going to say that you do not love. They are going to say that you're haters. But what I'm trying to express is to be against those things and to proclaim the word of God against those things is to teach the love of God, because that's how they will be saved. If we're silent, how will they hear it? And I'm not saying we should go out and start going around and on the street corners and beating the drum and do that. But we need to be sure to teach our children to be faithful and to teach our children to be steadfast and ourselves to be steadfast. And when we come up against those things and we have opportunity to show that love, to show it and teach and to be the pupil. For every tree is known by its own fruit, for the thorns of men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which buildeth a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. For he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, and against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. And so that's how we are in this world. Right now, those streams are beating upon the house all around us. And it's nibbling a little bit at our psyche all the time. And we're getting numb to it. We're all, here he goes, he's talking about that again. I hear this tomorrow, I'll see it on the TV. It's in everything. It's filtered into every part of our culture today in this country. And so it's beating upon us. It's beating upon our children and upon this church and upon you and I. So we need to dig our foundation deep and build upon that rock. Build upon the word of the Lord and be certain in it and not build upon the ideas of mankind today. I'd like to, I got a ways to go. Go to Book of Mormon, Ether, first chapter, starting in verse 15. And it came to pass that the brother of Jared did cry unto the Lord according to that which had been spoken by the mouth of Jared. And it came to pass that the Lord did hear the brother of Jared and had compassion upon him, and said unto him, Go to gather together thy flocks, both male and female of every kind, and also the seed of the earth of every kind in the family, and also Jared, thy brother, and his family, and also thy friends and their families, and the friends of Jared and their families. And when thou hast done this, thou shalt go at the head of them down into the valley which is northward. And there I will meet thee, and I will go before thee in a land which is a choice above all the land of the earth. And there will I bless thee and thy seed, and raise up unto me thy seed, and of the seed of thy brother, and they who shall go with thee, a great nation. And there shall be none greater than the nation which I will raise up unto me of thy seed upon all the face of the earth. And this will I do unto thee, because this long time ye have cried unto me. And it came to pass that Jared and his brother and their families, and also the friends of Jared and his brother and their families, went down into the valley which was northward. And the name of the valley was Nimrod, and being called after the mighty hunter, with their flocks, they had gathered together male and female of every kind. And they did also lay snares and catch fowls of the air, and they did also prepare a vessel in which they did carry with them the fish of the waters. And they did also carry with them desert, which by interpretation is a honeybee. And thus they did carry with them swarms of bees and all manner of that which was upon the face of the earth, seeds of every kind. And it came to pass that when they had come down into the valley of Nimrod, the Lord came and talked with the brother of Jared, and he was in a cloud, and the brother of Jared saw him not. And so here we have another place where God is revealing himself to his servant, and he's hiding himself because of his love for that servant, for his desire to preserve them and not destroy them. And so it came to pass. And it came to pass that they did travel in the wilderness and did build barges in which they did cross many waters, being directed continually by the hand of the Lord. And the Lord would not suffer that they should stop beyond the sea in the wilderness, but he would that they should come forth even unto the land of promise, which was choice above all other lands, which the Lord God had preserved for a righteous people. And he had sworn in his wrath unto the brother of Jared, that whosoever possesseth the land of promise from that time henceforth and forever shall serve the true and only God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath should come upon them. And now we have beheld the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise. And whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come to pass. And the fullness of his wrath cometh upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. For behold, this is a land which is a choice above all other lands. Wherefore, he that doth possess it shall serve God, or shall be swept off, for it is the everlasting decree of God. And it is not until the fullness of iniquity among the children of the land that they are swept off. And this cometh unto you, O ye Gentiles, that ye may know the decrees of God, that ye may repent and not continue in your iniquities until the fullness come, that ye may not bring down the fullness of the wrath of God upon you, as the inhabitants of the land have hitherto done. Behold, this is a choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations under heaven. And if they will but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, who hath been manifested by the things which we have written. And now I proceed with my record, for it cometh to pass that the Lord did bring Jared and his brethren forth, even to that great sea which divided the lands. And as they came to the sea, they pitched their tents, and they called the name of the place Mori and Kumer. And they dwelt in tents, and dwelt in tents upon the seashore for a space of 4 years. And it came to pass at the end of 4 years, the Lord came again unto the brother of Jared, and stood in a cloud, and talked with him. And for a space of 3 hours did the Lord talk with the brother of Jared, and chased him, because he remembered not to call upon the name of the Lord. And the brother of Jared repented of the evil which he had done, and did call upon the name of the Lord for his brethren who were with him. And the Lord said to him, I will forgive thee and thy brethren their sins, but thou shalt not sin any more. For ye shall remember that my spirit will not always strive with man. Wherefore, if ye will sin until ye are fully ripe, ye shall be cut off from the presence of the Lord. And so we can understand that there is a point in time when God's spirit will not strive with man. There's a point in time where when men reject God, that he will no longer be able to work with them because of their rejection. Not that God has turned away, but because they have refused him. And so when this happens, it's going to be very severe. And we're working up to that time. I mean, I know that, you know, if you're my age, you've heard this before, and things weren't as bad as they are now. And I'm sure, I don't know who's the oldest, I'm not going to point you out, you've probably heard it before I was born, that somebody has said that, and said that it could never be any worse. But it continues to get worse, and worse, and worse. But we have no way of knowing when this fullness of this iniquity has come. Because by the things I have seen, I would think that it was here. But the Lord is much more gracious than I think. And so only he knows. But all we know is that it's coming. And that we're closer. And as we see things get worse, we know it's closer. And so we should take note of that and be aware of that. And what our part is in that. And dig our foundation deep. Put it upon a rock. That we would not get swept away. In verse 44, and it came to pass that the brother of Jared did go to work, and also his brethren, and built barges after the manner which they had built according to the instructions of the Lord. And they were small, and they were light upon the water, even like unto the lightness of a fowl on the water, and they were built after the manner that they were exceedingly tight, and that they would would hold water like unto a dish. And the bottom thereof was like unto a dish, and the sides there were tight and like unto a dish, and the ends thereof were peaked, and the top thereof was tight like unto a dish, and the length thereof was the length of a tree, and the door thereof, when it was shut, was tight like unto a dish. And it came to pass that the brother of Jared cried unto the Lord, saying, O Lord, I have performed the work which thou hast commanded me, and I have made the barges according as thou hast directed me. And behold, O Lord, in them there is no light, whether we shall steer. And also we shall perish, for in them we shall not breathe, save it is the air which is in them. Therefore we shall perish. And the Lord said unto the brother of Jared, Behold, thou shalt make a hole in the top thereof, and also in the bottom thereof. And when thou shalt suffer for air, thou shalt unstop the hole thereof and receive air. And if it so be that the water come in upon thee, behold, ye shall stop the hole thereof, and ye may not perish in the flood. And it came to pass that the brother of Jared did so, according as the Lord had commanded. And he cried again unto the Lord, saying, Lord, behold, I have done even as thou hast commanded, and I have prepared the vessels for my people, and behold, there is no light in them. Behold, the Lord, wilt thou suffer? We shall cross this great water in darkness. And the Lord said unto the brother of Jared, What will ye that I should do, that ye might have light in your vessels? Behold, ye cannot have windows, for they will be dashed in pieces, neither shall ye take fire with you, for ye shall not go by firelight, or the light of fire. For behold, ye shall be as a whale in the midst of the sea, for the mountain waves shall dash upon you. Nevertheless, I will bring you up again out of the depths of the sea, and the wind, for the winds have gone forth out of my mouth, and also the rains and the floods have I sent forth. And behold, I prepare you against these things, for howbeit ye cannot cross this great deep, save I prepare you against the waves of the sea, and the winds which have gone forth, and the floods which shall come. Therefore, what will ye that I should prepare for you, that ye might have light when ye are swallowed up in the depths of the sea? And it came to pass that the brother of Jared, now the number of the vessels which had been prepared was 8, went forth unto the mount, which they called the Mount Shelem, and because of its exceedingly height, and did molten out of the rock 16 small stones. And they were white and clear, even as transparent as glass. And he did carry them in his hands upon the top of the mount, and cried again unto the Lord, saying, O Lord, thou hast said that we must be encompassed about by the floods. But behold, O Lord, and do not be angry with thy servant because of his weakness. before thee, for we know that thou art holy and dwellest in the heavens, and that we are unworthy before thee. Because of the fall, our natures have become evil continually. Nevertheless, O Lord, thou hast given us a commandment that we must call upon thee, that from thee we may receive according to our desires. Behold, O Lord, thou hast smitten us because of our iniquity, and hath driven us forth, and for this many years we have been in the wilderness, and nevertheless thou hast been merciful unto us. O Lord, look upon me in pity, and turn away thine anger from thy people, and suffer not that they shall go forth across this raging deep in darkness, but behold these things which I have molten out of the rock. And I know, O Lord, that thou hast all power, and can do whatsoever thou will for the benefit of man. Therefore touch these stones, O Lord, with thy finger, and prepare them that they might shine forth, and that they might shine forth unto us in the vessels which we have prepared, that we may have light while we shine across the sea. Behold, O Lord, thou canst do this. We know that thou art able to show forth great power, which looks small unto the understanding of men. And it came to pass that when the brother of Jared had said those words, behold, the Lord stretched forth his hand and touched the stones one by one with his finger. And the veil was taken off the eyes of the brother of Jared, and he saw the finger of the Lord. And it came, and it was as the finger of a man, like unto flesh and blood. And the brother of Jared fell down before the Lord, for he was struck with fear. And the Lord saw that the brother of Jared had fallen to the earth, and the Lord said unto him, Arise, why hast thou fallen? And he saith unto the Lord, I saw the finger of the Lord, and I fearest lest he should smite me. For I knew not that the Lord had flesh and blood. And the Lord said unto him, Because of thy faith hast thou seen that I shall take upon me flesh and blood, and never has man come before me with such exceedingly faith as thou hast. For were it not so, ye could not have seen my finger. Sawest thou more than this? And he answered, Nay, Lord, show thyself unto me. So there's a big contrast between what the brother of Jared saw and what Moses saw and what Moses was allowed to see. And so Moses was not allowed to look upon the face of God, but the brother of Jared, because of his faith, he was allowed to see Jesus Christ. And so that's how our salvation comes. Is through Jesus Christ. And that's the only way that we can approach God in that very same way. And only through him can we be saved. And this is what needs to be taught to the world, that people understand who God is and why. Because of the sin of men. This is not a situation that God caused. This is a situation that man caused because of the fall in the garden. And all of this is to save us from ourselves. And so it is by the grace of God that we have our Bible, by the grace of God that we have our Book of Mormon, that we are able to come to an understanding of who God is, because he was merciful. So that God show his love to us and turn the destruction away from us that we were doomed to without Jesus Christ. And this is the thing that we must stand upon in this world today. We must be steadfast in that and understand the love of it. and understand the mercy that comes with it. And no matter how hard it is to stand, no matter how hard it is to proclaim the word of God, that we must do it. Verse 80. Seest thou that ye are created after mine own image? Yea, even all men were created in the beginning after mine own image. Behold, this body which ye now behold is the body of my spirit. And man have I created after the body of my spirit. And even as I appear unto thee to be in the spirit, I will appear unto my people in the flesh. And now, as I, Moroni, said, I would not make a full account of those things which are written. Therefore, sufficeth me to say that Jesus showed himself unto this man in the spirit, even after the manner and likeness of this same body, even as he showed himself unto the Nephites. And he ministered unto me, even as he ministered unto the Nephites. And all this, that this man knew that he was God, because of the many great works which the Lord has showed unto him. And because of the knowledge of this man, he could not be kept from beholding within the veil, and he saw the finger of Jesus. When he saw, he fell with fear, for he knew that it was the finger of the Lord. And he had faith no longer, for he knew, nothing doubting. Wherefore, having this perfect knowledge of God, he could not be kept from within the veil. Therefore he saw Jesus, and he did minister unto him. And it came to pass that the Lord said unto the brother of Jared, Behold, thou shalt not suffer these things which ye have seen and heard, to go forth unto the world, until the time cometh that I shall glorify my name in the flesh. Wherefore ye shall treasure up these things which ye have seen and heard, and show it unto no man. And behold, when ye shall come unto me, ye shall write them, and ye shall seal them up, and no one can interpret them. For ye shall write them in a language that they cannot be read. And behold, these two stones will I give unto thee, and ye shall seal them up also with the things which ye shall write. And for behold, the language which ye shall write I have confounded, wherefore it will cause in mine own due time that these stones shall magnify to the eyes of men these things which ye shall write. And when the Lord had said these words, he showed unto the brother of Jared all the inhabitants of the earth which had been, and also all that would be, and the Lord withheld them not from his sight, even to the ends of the earth. For the Lord had said unto him in times before, that if he would believe in him, that he would that he could show unto him all things, it should be shown unto all things, it should be shown unto him. Therefore the Lord could not withhold anything from him, for he knew that the Lord could show him all things. And the Lord said unto him, Write these things and seal them up, and I will show them in mine own due time unto the children of men. And so we have this Book of Mormon, the Word of God, that was sealed up to men out of the mercy of God, out of his grace. And we know that there are many that reject it. And it is because of faith that we believe it. It is because of the faith of Brother Jared that he was able to see the hand of God, that he was able to see the body of Christ. And it is because of faith that we are able to accept that this is the Word of God. And so with faith, many things are done. And so we have to have faith in these days. We have to have that confidence in Jesus Christ and know the Word of God. And as Jared was able to perform those duties that God set before him, that his purposes were done, and he did that in faith, and many things were done, and the brother of Jared was able to see the plans of God all down through. And we have to have that kind of faith. We have to be steadfast in these days. I've just got a little bit more. I'm going to skip part of it. In verse 102. And he that will contend against the word of the Lord, let him be accursed. And he that shall deny these things, let him be accursed. For unto them will I show no greater things, saith Jesus Christ. For I am he who speaketh. And at my commandment the heavens are opened and are shut. And at my word the earth shall quake. And at my commandment the inhabitants thereof shall pass away, even so as by fire. And he that believeth not in my words believeth not my disciples, and if it so be that I do not speak, judge ye, for ye shall not know that it is I that speaketh at the last day. But he that believeth these things which I have spoken, him will I visit with the manifestations of my Spirit, and he shall know and bear record. For because of my Spirit he shall know that these things are true, for it persuadeth men to do good, and whatsoever thing persuadeth men to do good is of me. For good cometh of none, save it be of me. And I am the same that leadeth men to all good. He that will not believe my words will not believe me, that I am. And he that will not believe me will not believe that the Father sent me. For behold, I am the Father, and I am the light and the life and the truth of the world. And so I'll leave it at that. It's getting late. But my point is that sometimes that we get caught up in the idea of a warm, fuzzy kind of God. And he truly is. But we have to understand it. We have to know God. We have to understand his commandments. And sometimes those things are hard. And we're entering into a day and age, or we're in it now, where we're faced with those hard things. And I don't believe that we're going to be able to back away from them. I don't believe that we are going to be always out of that conflict as we are today. And so we need to prepare ourselves and understand that we must prepare not only for ourselves, but out of love for others, and that we be steadfast in those things. So my prayers are with you, that we would be able to withstand the evils of this day, and that we would have that confidence to be faithful and always be in the love of God, and have that love of God for each other and others. Thank you for your time.